Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, you heard Greeny talk about Le'Veon Bell. Waddle puked in the promo.
Did you hear the music? That was kind of my reaction. Was that guy screaming, Why?
Do we want to start this early? Do we want to pull back the curtain this early in the show? Tonight, even 2:01 p.m.?
No.
Do we want to pull back the curtain?
We don't want to trade for Le'Veon Bell.
The edict that I got before the show, the demand from the host chair that I got.
Sylvie, you got to hear this.
Waddle is not a demanding person. Waddle does not send us out for food. He doesn't believe we are grunts. He treats us with the utmost respect.
I throw things at you in jest, not because I'm angry at you, but because I like to throw things at you and see you dodge them as you're reading spots.
However, today, right before the show, I believe while Sylvie was doing the tease, in the talkback, he said, if anybody calls about Le'Veon Bell, you hang up on them. You do not put them through.
I didn't expect Sylvie was going to be the guy called.
Should the Bears kick the tires on Le'Veon Bell?
It's what Greeny was talking about, and I know that's on Bears fans' mind. Look, they can't use Mike Davis, okay? Mike Davis is tearing it up with Carolina right now. Matt Nagy doesn't know how to use any of the running backs. You want to get him more running backs?
I'm with you. That's why I mean? No thanks. Le'Veon Bell was a hell of a player. He's got a great resume, but no. No.
Yeah, and look, all your money, whether it's capital on draft, even if it's a late round pick, whether it's money that you're going to have to absorb, whatever, capital, okay? Yeah, no. Draft capital, money capital. You're going to need that for a quarterback here soon. Soon. Yeah. Sooner than we all think. The Bears are in the quarterback market. And to spend on another aged running back for a run this year, for another Jimmy Graham-type player, they're overpaid and they had their day, again, it has never been more apparent that you can put anybody back there. And if the plan is sound and if the line is good, those are two key things. Got to have a good line. You got to have a sound plan. But usually if those two things are the case, you can get the run game to work.
Amen, brother. Hey, can I get a jump on Would You Rather Tuesday, which I love?
Oh, yeah. I forgot to promote that.
I've got two Would You Rathers for later, so I'm going to only give you one. I think I gave you a little sneak peek. A little sneak peek?
What is that? we're not on Sirius or we're not a podcast yet.
Do we have to do that?
That's one of those things I wasn't even going to try and I wasn't even going to try to correct.
Knitting Ding Dong Johnson's all over the place.
And a sneak peek.
What is a sneak pink?
Look, it's October.
Is sneak pink cancer awareness? Pink is the color.
Thank you, Sylvie.
Is that what you people that can eat pig? Is that like secret pork? Is that like if you're hoarding pork, secret hot dog?
You know what, Adam? I'm just going to leave it up to everyone's imagination. It is what you want it to be.
How about that?
Sneak pink. At my two football Would You Rathers, okay? Which one do you want? Do you want the quarterback one or you want the team one? I think they're interchangeable.
I always want the quarterback one. Always.
Would you rather have Justin Herbert or Trevor Lawrence?
I already see Justin Herbert and what he can do.
I'm with you.
Call me crazy.
I have been so impressed by what I've seen from that kid. In full disclosure, I'm no quarterback guru, especially when they come out of college, but I did not think Justin Herbert was going to be a difference-making quarterback at the NFL level.
Neither did Abdallah.
Wow. He was the best quarterback on the field last night. If you didn't watch that game and you woke up this morning and you looked at the score and Drew Brees, once again, rally time, here comes Drew Brees. Justin Herbert was the best quarterback on the field.
Him and Kamara were the two best players on the field, weren't they?
Yes.
The two best players on the field yesterday were Justin Herbert and Alvin Kamara.
Yes.
The catch that he made, Alvin Kamara. But I've already got it. I'm looking for someone. I liked their tweet, and it wasn't because I liked your tweet. It's because I wanted to bookmark it, and I think there's a way to bookmark it, but I didn't know how to bookmark it, so I just liked it.
Sounds like me navigating social media.
JK tweeted me because I said, when are the Bears going to find their Herbert? And he goes, let's not crown Herbert yet. Good performance in prime time, for sure. Rex Grossman was NFC Player of the Month. Mitch had a 5-touchdown game.
6-touchdown game.
Yeah, against Tampa a year ago. 2 years ago.
Yeah.
All I would say is, for the truthers out there, that if Mitch ever looked like Justin Herbert would look in the first, what is it, 5 games of his career, if they had a bye against some of the best teams in football, if they would really go to bat for their guy. The truthers go to bat for a guy who's got very, very little tape. You know, they always use that first year as, well, it was John Fox who held him back. You know, what do you expect a rookie to do, you know, without many weapons? I mean, I saw the best wide receiver on the Chargers leave in the first quarter yesterday. Yes. I saw the first string running back get hurt a week ago.
Tampa, that is correct.
From the Chargers. And Justin Herbert was never ready to start. He wasn't going to be their starter. He had a short camp, and he had no OTAs. And he's looking like that. Do you know what the truthers would have yelled about Mitch if he ever would have looked like this?
It's you couldn't handle it. Listen, I would argue that he's hit more deep throws in 4 games
than Mitch has his whole
career. Mitch has in 4 years. Now, again, and why did you drag me into this? I want to talk football without comparing anyone to Mitch.
And so they wouldn't be truthers if he was throwing like that, right?
Right.
Those people wouldn't exist. Like, we would all be on board. We'd be like, yeah,
You're guilty of bringing me into that dark room and hitting me in the head with a bag of soap. What I'm saying to you, listen, that happens all. Dude, Jimmy Garoppolo, to get back to Jimmy Garoppolo from yesterday, somebody, since you opened the door, somebody posted Mitch's stats comparing them to Jimmy Garoppolo. Well, Jimmy Garoppolo, he's just as good as Jimmy Garoppolo. You let your eyes take.
Who did that?
Some guy on Twitter that
I can't
respond to those people. Like, you want the numbers last year? Do you want the numbers?
Yes, I want the number.
Jimmy Garoppolo, 27 touchdown passes, 13 interceptions, 3,975 yards. We've never had anyone throw for 3,975 yards. He had a quarterback rating over 100, and the San Francisco 49ers scored 30 points per game. There was one team in the NFL in 2019 that scored more offensive points per game than the 49ers last year. It was the Baltimore Ravens, and don't give me that crap that it was just a defense, because we had one of those great defenses in 2018, and our offense didn't do what the 49ers did. I'm not telling you that he's Aaron Rodgers, but don't bring me that weak crap.
I just saw Cap, by the way.
I wasn't naming names.
Sharfy gave him a baseball bat to drop off, and Cap, very, very friendly, is always, he is always willing to do favors. He is an awesome friend. But he said, he called me and he goes, it was 1:45. He says, I'm in your driveway right now. I go, I got a baseball bat for you. Do you want to hit me over the head with it?
Right.
You know, because of the last couple, because he came. I found out more today of what he said, because Carmen and Yurko were talking about it, that he said that he compared Jimmy Garoppolo to Rex Grossman.
I mean,
what Rex Grossman did in 06.
Am I supposed to respond to that? Rex Grossman that year threw, 23 touchdowns and 20 interceptions? Use both your stats and your eyes. Again, we can have this conversation. You can't careen from one guardrail on the right side of the road to the left. There's a middle lane. And the middle lane is, he's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not garbage. In fact, he's more towards Aaron Rodgers, if you want, than he is towards garbage. The quarterback conversation drives me effing crazy. You know how much I like Matt Ryan. Great guy. Boston College grad, has had a fantastic career. Everyone loves Matt Ryan and is willing to overlook Matty Ice's mistakes. He threw a red zone pick Sunday in their game against Carolina that was inexcusable as they're trying to come back. My point is, it happens with quarterbacks. You're willing to forgive some for whatever reason, and you aren't willing to forgive others for other reasons. And it just drives me crazy.
The other part of the whole Mitch conversation that drives me crazy is the, if Mitch would have played like that in the first half, he would have been pulled. And but he's had 3.5 years to show you.
I'm going
to
give you like, this.
That's the thing. No one is promising Nick Foles is going. Look, I'm telling you right now, as a guy who wants Nick Foles to start, the Bears need a quarterback.
Yes.
And this is my number one priority as a Chicago sports fan. For years it was, will I ever see the Cubs win a World Series? My number one priority, and it's not close as a Chicago sports fan, is when am I going to get that quarterback? Who's it going to be? Who's going to get it for me? Is it going to be a free agent? Are they going to draft a guy? Do they have to trade up for him? Are they going to have to suck to get him? What's the roadmap to get this dude? Am I going to be 80 years old when I get him? Am I going to be dead by the time the Bears get this guy? So, like, this is my now as a sports fan, my big thing that I need and I want to have happen. But these takes about... Well, ugh. Nick Foles would have been, if this was Mitch, he would have been, dude, how much longer do you need to see Mitch before you just finally admit he's not the guy?
Listen, I had the same explosion earlier when talking to the fellas. I was like, listen, to all of you that are, I just to reiterate what you said again, you go back to 2019 and hear what I'm saying, everybody. Make sure your ears are working. As we said all of last year, repeated all in the offseason and have said from day one here, last year's failure was a team effort on offense. The coach didn't put the quarterback in position to take advantage of what he does well. The receivers collectively dropped too many passes. You got nothing from the tight ends. The offensive line didn't create enough space in the running game consistently. But the quarterback played horribly and was a big reason why they were 29th in the league in yards per game, 29th in the league in points per game. Mitch averaged 6.2 yards per attempt, which ranked him near the bottom, if not the bottom, of all NFL starters, and had a quarterback rating, what, in the low 80s. Look, he's a great kid. He works hard. How many more years or games do you want to see that? I don't care if it's Nick Foles, it's Fick Knowles, it's Danny Shelton, it's Steve Garth. I don't care who it is.
Easy, Secret Pink.
Like, what we're doing is like, why are we going back to that? It ain't going to be all blue skies and sunshine with number 9. It's just not. You know what
you're
getting.
You just got to give him some run. You got to give him some run.
Like this whole,
just to see if it gets better.
How did we get into this conversation? Jesus.
It started with Herbert.
We were supposed to be yelling at Sylvie during this segment.
Herbert and Lawrence? That's the combo?
Yeah, that's what it was. Like, I'm with you, Sylvie.
Yeah, that was the one you'd rather, too. You guys are going to go Lawrence, aren't you?
No, I'm going. Me?
No. Black and Abdallah, the college kids.
You know, Sylvie, it's tough because what I've seen through 5 games from Justin Herbert, I'm extremely impressed by this. And you know, like, how often do we see a quarterback get into the NFL, command an offense, be able to go downfield, stand tall, also make plays with his legs, and have his team in contention to beat a really good Saints team on the road?
Not one preseason snap, Black.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't supposed to be the starter either.
We were describing... It's early. I get it. Yeah. And there are mistakes. Like Drew Brees made a lot of mistakes last night. He makes it look easy at times. He's got the arm strength. He's got the mobility. He's got the feel. He's smart. Look, I don't know who he's going to be, but I like what I've seen every bit as much as what I've seen from Joe Burrow. And you know I love Joe Burrow coming out, and Joe Burrow's getting killed behind that Bengals offensive line. I just thought it was an interesting conversation. Maybe you don't have to have the number one overall pick in the draft. Maybe you can draft the second or third or fourth quarterback. And so, like, you can find these guys. You just have to have an eye for the talent and find a way to develop them once they get into your program.
The difference is Lawrence and Clemson are by far the best players on that field single week. Whereas once you get into the NFL, you're playing the best at that position from every school. You know what I mean?
Yeah, don't get me wrong. If as a Bears fan, would I take Trevor Lawrence?
Oh,
hell freaking yes. I'm just saying to you, you've now seen
the bird in the
Justin
hand.
Herbert play how many games? 4.5, 5 games?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's as good as a young quarterback will look, I think, early on.
Early on. 312-332-3776. Let's get your calls in. Waddle definitely wants to hear your pro Le'Veon Bell to the Bears calls.
If you
want Le'Veon Bell as a playmaking running back, Waddle wants to hear from you right now.
I don't want your
to talk
your,
about that.
Your sneak peek at all when it comes to this conversation. Yeah, you heard me.
And then also the trigger portion of this conversation was interesting with Garoppolo, with Mitch. We have a topic that we want to introduce too about what are the biggest triggers on Twitter when it comes to a certain athlete. Who are those guys? We'll take all your phone calls. We'll talk some Bears here. I haven't even thrown out my topic that they nearly kicked me off the phone for the pre-show fist fight. And remember, we've got a Would You Rather Tuesday today, so hashtag it. WS Would You Rather. We'll take your Would You Rather suggestions at 4:30, and you'll have a chance to win some booze.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Shout out to everyone on the Twitch channel today, talking amongst other Waddle and Sylvie and ESPN 1000 fans. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Not only can you listen to the show, but you watch it. The first Midwest Bank studio being featured. You can see Waddle each and every day. It's what I use to you know, because I'm still doing the show at home, so to be connected while having a conversation. It's a slight delay.
It's not bad.
Not terrible at all. No.
It's not bad.
And then the best part is, too, other fans get to interact about the show with each other while everything's going on, and we interact with them as
no
well.
No fighting.
Who's fighting?
No, I said no fighting. No fighting inside.
You can have some debate.
No fighting.
There's a difference, right,
between
fighting and debating.
Yes.
So Waddle brought up the interesting point, and someone tweeted about it, too, and they read Waddle's mind. Smokey Bandit says,
Smokey Bandit.
Yeah. Why do the truthers lose their minds whenever Garoppolo is a bad game? They do realize their guy is sitting on the bench behind a career backup.
Listen, and I'm not even like when I look at quarterbacks, I don't try to compare them to Mitch. The only time that conversation comes up is when people want to bring it up for some odd reason.
Well, it's like just like a Bears game's
match.
A Bears game's going on, and then you get the handful of the Mitch Hive come out, and they say, "Oh, blame Mitch for this one, guys. The offense looks really good. Why don't you blame Mitch?" That's how it gets brought
last up. Last year, 29th in yards per game, 29th in points per game, 83 quarterback rating, average 6.1 yards per attempt offensively. I just can't do it anymore. I can't. I quit.
Well, you got it. You have to. So who are the athletes that trigger you the most, good or bad? Like Cap's a Jimmy G. When Jimmy G plays bad, Cap, because he's a truther, will talk about it and tweet about it.
I don't think it's unique to him either. I think that, like, he's a guy that, like I said to you, on Sunday I was trying to work out. I was watching the red zone because the game wasn't on, and he was awful in the first half. And then everybody, like, Twitter was just filled with, he stinks, he's awful, he's... And as I said to you yesterday, where are all these people when he's leading you on a fourth-quarter comeback against the Seahawks and he's helping lead your team along with a good defense and some quality offensive players to a 13-3 record into the Super Bowl? Like, where... I don't know how you... Like, did you forget about that?
The number one athlete is LeBron, isn't it? I mean, he's the most polarizing athlete.
Yes.
Like, he triggers the both sides, and I'm guilty about with it sometimes, too, because of the GOAT conversation.
As soon as LeBron has a down moment, he's human, for crying out loud. You're 100% correct. There are moments when Twitter lights up and catches fire.
Right.
Everyone wants to dive on top of each other to have the most critical thing to say about LeBron.
Or when LeBron has a really good game, like, they've got to go from good game to go. Like, there's no in between. No one could just say, wow, what a really good effort by LeBron here.
Right.
With everything he's dealt with, it's got to be Jordan, you know, and who are some of the other athletes that trigger you? 312-332-3776. 1-800-636-1776. Jesse is calling us in Arizona. Jesse, you're on Waddle and Sylvie. What's going on?
How's it going, guys? How are you doing?
Good. Fantastic.
You know, I just want to say, Sylvie, strong.
Thank you.
During these tough times that we've dealt with, you guys have really helped people get an outlet from their tough lives, whether it's wondering when they're going to get money or if they'll have a job. And I just want to let you know, my girlfriend's a nurse, and we moved out here a year ago, and just hearing you guys every day just really kind of diminished, you know, the stress of wondering about those things for a few hours. And I just want to let you know that.
It's really nice of you. And shout out to your wife, too, for you said it's your wife, right?
She's my girlfriend. We moved out here a year ago.
Yeah, so yeah, shout out to her for doing what she does.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that so much. My question was that Waddle, I think, said yesterday that he thinks this Bears team's going to go 8-8.
I picked them at 8-8 to start the season.
And what do you think they'll be now?
You could convince me 9-7 is a more realistic. Jesse, I got to see them be better than they have been offensively through the first five games of the season before I'm willing to say that's a 10-win team.
Okay, but and who is that on? Is that on Nagy? Is that on the O-line that still can't protect, you know, me or you? Is that they can't still run the ball? So my main question was, give me a quarterback that's not in the top 10, whether it's Breeze, Rodgers, Wilson, you know, whoever you want to add to that list. You know, like you're talking about Matt Ryan. You think Matt Ryan comes here and he's that much more successful with better than Foles, where they they win a couple?
Yeah, he's better. He's a better quarterback.
Okay, but give me someone else that you think that would also help this team make the playoffs. That's outside.
Well, you get me. You're asking the question. You ask me if that player is better than. I mean, I don't know what you're getting at. Is that no quarterback could come in here and help them get to? Listen, as I've said, Jesse, from last year to this year, they've got some systemic problems. I talked all last week about now Matt's got his quarterback. He's got all of his coaches. He's helped pick the personnel. They got 12 weeks, now 11 weeks, to prove that this system works.
Okay, my point is that in the first half of the Super Bowl last year, when they couldn't run the ball with that team and they were getting pressure on Mahomes, Mahomes looked like trash. And for the last 2 years, the Bears have looked like trash. And I think, okay, let's say you put Matt Stafford on this team. Is this team, are they an 11-win team?
They're better. They're a better offense with Matt Stafford under center. It's the same conversation we have, Jesse, with everyone that says, well, you could bring Patrick Mahomes to Chicago and behind that offensive line and with that, the rest of that, you know, he's not going to be the Patrick Mahomes in Chicago that he is in Kansas City. That's not the question. That's not a relevant point. The only relevant point is, will they be better with him than who was currently at the quarterback position? That's the only question that's really even meaningful.
And I guess my last thing I'll say is the relevance of my question is, how long do you allow a play caller who says he wants to run the ball and that he's not an idiot, and then they don't run the ball and their offensive line sucks? How can we count on whoever's behind center to get the job done? Because I think Foles was pretty, you know, going against that Tampa Bay team the other day, and them for them to win that game, and then just the next day to hear all of the hate that I heard, which is rightfully so, but I don't understand. You know, you need a running game. You need to set up play action. You need to do, you know, they never even used, when Mitch was quarterback, they never even got him on the run where he could be, you know.
Jesse, that strength. like the hate, I think, in quote hate, and I don't think it's hate, but the criticism comes exactly with what you're criticizing, is if you can't trust your head coach, and we did a poll question about the head coach, if you can't trust your head coach, do you really buy into what the Bears are doing in the big picture? And I think that's the bigger conversation, even when the Bears go on a victory Friday and they're 4-1, where we all kind of just, we're doing a check on each other and saying, are they really that good if we can't even trust the head coach?
This was our conversation all of last week, I think, and I think it's a legitimate one, and it will continue to be the main conversation going forward, because this is a defense, albeit not one that was as dominant in 18. You can win several more games than you lose with this defense. Your offense just has to be average at the very, very least. When it comes to the quarterback, Nick Foles can't miss Mooney. Mitch can't miss all the guys that he missed. You see Justin Herbert. Would he struggle behind this offensive line? Maybe. But when he gets the opportunity to make those big plays, when guys get behind,
he's going to elevate them too.
Exactly. That's the difference. Whether it's Foles, it's Mitch, whoever it is, you can't miss those open receivers the way that they've been missed over the last couple of years, including now, and expect your offense to ever improve significantly, because other quarterbacks aren't going to miss those throws as frequently as our guys have.
I got a brilliant tweet from one of our listeners, and you heard me right, a brilliant tweet. That's an oxymoron right there, about how the Bears are going to find their next quarterback. A lot of callers wanting to chat some NFL with us about the Bears. We love these weekends when we can watch other players play. We have a Tuesday game, too.
Yeah.
That got us all heated about a conversation.
Your mouth when you're talking football to us, mister.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, so here's a tweet from Phil Doe. I said Phil, like the
Excuse
name.
Excuse me?
Phil.
Sneak peek.
Phil Doe. He says, none of the best quarterbacks in the league were the first quarterback taken. Rodgers, Brady, Wilson, Russell Wilson, Mahomes. There's good players to be had by everyone but Ryan Pace.
That, again, you know what, and his point is it doesn't matter where you're drafting that guy. Now, you'd rather have a higher pick than a lower pick because you've got more options.
Right. And if you look at some of these earlier picks now, most of them are panning out.
Right. You still have to have a discerning eye for a quarterback. You have to know what you're looking for. You have to know how that guy will project at the next level. And then you have to put him into a system where a guy can be groomed and grown.
Dak Prescott's another good example of that.
Dak
fourth
was
round
fourth
pick.
Round, yeah.
The Bears had three fourth-round picks the year that Dak was taken in the fourth round.
Derek Carr was a second-round pick. He was 32nd overall, and he's another guy that people love to scream about. Like when Derek Carr's had a bad game.
Yeah, he triggers people, yeah.
People are like, he's garbage. Like, it's really hard to play this game at a high level consistently. You see how much coaching matters. I mean, you can say whatever you want about John Gruden. He's an eccentric personality. He's goofy. He's chucky. He can coach his ass off. He can. That's
why if I'm Bears ownership and I'm George and I'm Ted Phillips, I sit down with Ryan Pace and I say, unless you change your process in the way you go about, and it's the process. And people always say to us, well, the mocks. And I always say, well, what was his process? He did not want to do a personal workout with Deshaun Watson. Did not give Deshaun Watson a personal workout. He did not fill in his head coach what he was doing. He didn't want to be talked out of it. The essence of going through the process is these are important decisions, and it should be a conversation that you have with everybody. And the process was faulty. And if I'm the Bears brass, I say, Ryan, you don't get to keep your job unless you tell us how you're changing your process on how you're going to find us a quarterback. And if you can, then we're moving on from you. Simple as that.
And by the way, you and I are in lockstep. Their quarterback of the future isn't on their roster.
No.
It ain't Nick Foles, it ain't Mitch, it ain't Tyler Bray.
No, it's... We know what Foles is. At times he can get hot. He's had some success, but the failures have really outweighed that. He's never been a full-time starter his career.
And here's the deal. If Nick Foles is your backup quarterback for the next 2 years after this one, out of a, at a cost of about, what, $7.5 million a year? Like, you were paying Chase Daniel $5 million a year.
I know, it's still a little pricey.
I got it. I'm just telling you, it won't break your bank, but you have to find the guy that can take over that role and you can grow with the way that other teams have found that guy and are growing with.
John in Charleston, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, thanks, guys, for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Sure.
So, obviously, you know, I'm here at Eastern Illinois, so I'm probably a little bit biased. I will admit that. But, you know, I think Garoppolo is better than he gets, you know, credit for. So I just wanted to give you guys this scenario that I think is going to happen, or at least very likely. I think Rodgers wants to end his career 49er. I think that whole draft storyline where he's from, I think he goes back there and ends it. If the Niners part ways with Garoppolo and he ends up in Chicago, his hometown team, do you guys think that that would be good for this team and this organization, or do you think there are just massive changes that even, you know, Garoppolo, who's gone to a Super Bowl, even he can't help?
What do you think, Waddle? He's a nice Jay Cutler. I know he's not terrible.
He's better than not terrible.
Right, right.
I mean, again,
he can be good.
Yes.
When he's got to be, when he's making decisions.
Listen, you have to coach him up, and he has to be like anybody who goes and plays with San Francisco and has Kyle Shanahan, I think, has got an advantage over 95% of the other quarterbacks in the league. I just think that much of Shanahan devising plays and calling plays and game planning. I will admit to you, I didn't think that the errors would be as prominent. There are, he still takes too many risks. He's a good quarterback.
He's getting paid a lot, isn't he, too?
Yes. I mean, if you ask me to choose between him and Dak Prescott, I'm probably choosing Dak Prescott.
Yeah. Not probably. Come
on. You're going to have to pay Dak, too.
Yeah, yeah, but you are. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, I like Dak. But, I mean, I don't think that that's as huge a slam dunk as everyone thinks as well. I mean, I like Dak a lot. But why is, you know, I'll give Dak $45 million absolutely coming in here. Like, there are very few quarterbacks that don't have some warts.
Kevin in Arizona. Tell me you're not going to say what you're about to say, Kevin.
You know I am. So I got a question for Waddle. So Jimmy G's been in the league for a good amount of years, so I just don't understand why does he get the slide where, you know, I'll give him a break, but Mitch, you've seen enough from him. And, you know, in 2018, Nagy's first year, Mitch was our quarterback. We got to the playoffs. And then seeing how deficient our offense is now, even without Mitch in there, I mean, can you really put it all on him to say, you know, maybe if the offense was better, you'd look at Mitch differently even?
I'll turn around and ask you a question. Why do you think Mitch is as good or better than Jimmy Garoppolo?
Just from what I've seen from personally. Again, I haven't seen enough from Garoppolo to think he's better at quarterback. I've seen, now granted, Mitch isn't Alex Smith right now, no, but he's better than Trent Dilfer, and Trent Dilfer had no problem getting the Super Bowl.
Jimmy Garoppolo was the starting quarterback for the second highest scoring offense in the league last year. He threw for almost 4,000 yards, had 27 touchdown passes, 13 interceptions, a quarterback rating over 100. Mitch last year led the 29th ranked offense. Mitch had a quarterback rating of 83 and averaged 6.1 yards per pass attempt. Like, if you want to throw stats, I'll throw stats. My eyes tell me that he... What?
You're good.
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't know, again... Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not telling you Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't have access to dumping anybody, so that wasn't me.
So he just hung up.
I mean, look,
he's there.
No,
he's there.
There you go.
Nobody is going to tell you that it's Aaron Rodgers, but to sit and to me and say to me, well, yeah, why Jimmy's no better than Mitch? He's just I can't agree with that. I can't.
Kevin, don't you
disagree with that.
Kevin, don't you want a quarterback who could read defenses and is more accurate than Mitch?
I do. You know what it is, though? I was so just fed up with Cutler for so many years where he just didn't care. And Mitch actually seems to care, so I guess maybe I'm too pro-Mitch at this point, maybe, because he just seems like such a nice guy. You want him to be our guy?
Sure.
And we have said that. Over and over.
Thanks, Kevin.
How good a guy, how good a teammate he is. Like, again, Garoppolo completed 69% of his passes last year for 3,978 yards. His first year as a full-time starter he started a full 16 games. He averaged 8.4 yards per attempt. 27 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. I've always said the interceptions are too high. Okay, he had 102 quarterback rating. Only the Ravens scored more points last season than the 49ers. Like, I just don't get why. I don't get why when Jimmy Garoppolo has a crappy half of football, everyone rushes to, I knew he was no good. What were you watching last year? What were you saying when the 49ers
took it off. They took last year off.
You took last year off? Is that what you did? Like, when the 49ers, and he was coming back and winning games, and that thing's like a fine, you know, a well-oiled machine. Like, what are you, just not watching those games? Are you playing golf? What were you doing last year? Like, I don't get that.
This is what this is. They're blinded. They're blinded by love, right? They're your friend that's dating the worst person in the world, and you all see it, and you're all like, dude, she's gotten us kicked out of every bar the last 4 weeks. Like, we can't go anywhere.
You're like,
you guys, she's not that bad. I mean, plus that guy had it coming. And you're like, no, what is wrong with you? Like, how do you not see that she is awful, that this person is horrible? And everyone is telling them they're wrong. But eventually, you know what? They'll come around. And one by one, the truthers are like, yeah, you guys are right. I'm sorry. And then, you know, eventually that guy will see it. Eventually he'll see the error of his ways. And hopefully it's not too late
before he signs
a long-term deal with her.
I'm not careening from the right guard rail to the left. I'm not telling you he's a top five quarterback. I just find it really weird. Like, there are certain players out there that inspire this type of reaction when they step in the bucket.
Yeah, and we'll take those calls. A lot of good callers, Mike and Mitchell. We haven't talked to Mitchell in a while, too. And I heard him with Carmen and Yurko. He was really good. Tony and Matt, we'll take all your calls, plus the 18th greatest bear of the last 50 years. All that coming up next. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000 and the Waddle and Sylvie Show presents the countdown of the 20 greatest Chicago Bears players of the last 50 years.
Dick Butkus was pretty scary, huh?
Here he is, Galloping Gale, carrying the mail.
The best is yet to come, it really is.
Mike Ditka's NFC champions were as bold on offense as they were on defense in this title game. As McMahon rifled a deep pass from his own end zone.
Quick pitch to Walter, looking for the record, cuts back, he's got it!
Pass is intercepted by that guy, Brian Urlacher.
Hester's going to take it all the way for a touchdown.
Presented by Great Clips.
Mom always said, have a heart. Visit any Great Clips location in Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana. Support the local Ronald McDonald House. Buy a heart. Get a coupon for your next haircut. Give families the comfort and care that the local Ronald McDonald House provide. Donate today. Great Clips. It's going to be great. All salons are independently owned and operated. Contact your local salon for specific safety measures.
The countdown continues with the 18th greatest Bears player of the last 50 years.
Go Bears!
That's right, we're doing the last 50 years instead of 100. The Bears have a storied history. There are so many great players, and we don't want to get bogged down with picking guys from the 20s and 30s and 40s. So these are all guys between 70. They had to play for the Bears between 70 and 20.
The modern era.
Yes. Yeah, the last 50 years. Did you see, too, that Brandon Marshall put a comment on the ESPN Chicago Instagram page.
Did he? I didn't see it.
So you can get all the recaps on ESPN underscore Chicago.
Was he unhappy that he came in tied for 20th?
No. It was awesome, and it was one of the reasons why I wanted to do this, but just in case he would see it. His first comment was, as he saw that he was 20th in a tie with Jay Cutler, because we thought there was a match there too. Yeah. The Cutler and they have each other for better or worse, and his first comment was, "Are you guys trying to start trouble?" And the answer is yes. Yeah. And then he commented, "Miss you guys." And then I commented, we miss you too. You should come on the show. And I haven't heard back from him.
Yeah. I always enjoyed our conversations with him.
I like Brandon. Yeah. Yes. So the point of that story is you can get all the top 20 in recap. You should follow the ESPN Chicago Instagram page as well.
You
it's ESPN underscore Chicago. Waddle number 18 on our list is Wilbur Marshall. Now, he played another guy like the other Marshall on our list, Brandon, like we were talking about. A short time for the Bears. He was drafted by the Bears, spent 4 years here. But if you want to watch a highlight film of the way football used to be played, the way it was such a brutal sport and hitting was key and rushing the passer, Wilbur Marshall is a guy that you should watch, because when he played with the Bears from 84 through 87, he was a dominant player.
I played against him when he was with the Redskins. He was gone, obviously. He left after the 87 season here and went to Washington as a free agent.
And it always sucked. That was a bad... And there's a Sports Illustrated piece, too, with both of you guys on it, isn't
Capital
there?
Capital Punishment was the title. It was one of those... It was in the middle of Sports Illustrated. You opened it up. And it was one of those two-page pictures, like with the staples in the middle, but it was like, it wasn't just on one side. It was him planting
centerfold.
Me. Centerfold, okay. Planting
you
me.
Were
and I think the line was, the headline was Capital Punishment. And it was Wilbur beating the crap out of me, about to bury me into the
Did you
the
know
Soldier
that,
Field
Abdallah?
Turf.
Did you know that Waddle was a part of a
I did
centerfold
not know
in
that,
Sports Illustrated?
Tom Waddle and Steve Stone had something
Look
in common.
You.
That they were both, it's they were both centerfolds.
That picture's here in the station somewhere.
That they were both centerfolds. Yeah.
I'm going to go get that for you one of the next breaks so you can look at it.
Will you sign it for me?
Gaze lovingly into the picture.
Will you sign it for me?
Of course.
So Wilbur Marshall, number 18. Thursday, we will bring you number 17. Waddle, it is all brought to you by your friends at Great Clips.
No doubt about it, my friend. I wish I had the sheet of paper.
I got it here.
Okay.
Caller 20 right now. You'll win a $50 gift card to Great Clips. Visit any Great Clips in Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana to support the local Ronald McDonald House. Buy a heart, get a coupon for your next haircut. Give families the comfort and care. Great Clips, it's going to be great. All salons are independently owned and operated. Contact your local salon for specific safety measures.
If you've heard me read the spots every day, they've raised over $800,000 for this
cause. It's incredible. And they're great partners.
Yes.
And they brought you these lists here with the Cubs and the Bulls before that. And we thank them for the partnership and being a friend of the Waddle and Sylvie show.
How did we get into this this agitated conversation?
Which one?
Quarterback conversation.
Oh, right? It started with
how did we get
Le'Veon Bell.
And oh,
you didn't want
to
take calls about Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah,
so we said, so then we went to Justin Herbert, and then we brought up, and I told you a tweet that saying, Sylvie, don't crown Justin Herbert yet. Mitch had a 6-touchdown game, and blah, 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 and all that.
Okay, Mitchell, that's how we got there.
Mitchell and Displains, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Mitchell?
Hey, what's up out there, Burger Strong? First of all, we don't need to have a Myers-Briggs psychological test to determine if Trubisky has a nice personality. We know that. But unfortunately, football's not based on nice personalities. It's based on performance. And over 4 years, we see what I call law of diminishing returns. For those that keep on what I call going back to this ridiculous notion of a fairy tale that Trubisky is somehow going to have this, like, you know, this amazing restart or reboot, is really quite a fictionary tale. And over 4 years, you see exactly why he's not starting. Now, let's compare and contrast. You got Nick Foles, okay? And he's now just finding what I call his zone. And don't play him small. I think that Nagy really is in a different spot with him, because this is the type of quarterback that's going to call him out. I'm not calling out the coach if he sees, you know, the flow of the offense and, you know, he wants to go in a different direction because he wants to be cute. I think that's going to be a nice dynamic of conflict, and that conflict works. That's exactly what happened with Van Halen, by the way. It was the conflict between Van Halen, between David Lee Roth and Eddie Van Halen, that made those first six albums spectacular.
Way to mesh the two, Mitchell. That was good. That was solid.
Did you know, by the way, did you know, Waddle? I found this out on Carmen and Yurko show. Mitchell was a rock reporter, a rock critic.
I did not know that.
For an L.A., where was it? An L.A. radio station, Mitchell?
Yes. Do you remember a guy named Kevin Weatherly? Kevin Woodley of basically, what was it called? It was Infinity Own. It was a classic rock station in L.A. called K-Rock. It was K-Rock's sister station, okay? And I started out in promotions, at the bottom, and I worked my way up to be a writer. It was the best gig in the world. Plus, I was auditioning, so I got to use the trucks for my audition, and I got to go to all the concerts. And in 2002, Roth and Hagar were playing in L.A., and there's a lot of drama, but I got to do a whole interview with Hagar's people. Roth's people are a little more standoffish. I mean, he only talks to basically the New York Times and the L.A. Times. But it was really interesting to feel the dynamic because you got to understand, when Hagar came into the fold in 1986 or 85, Mick Jones, a forwarder, produces that 5150. Which is more the emphasis on the keyboards, but in 1984, when Van Halen had 1984, Eddie was really into the keyboards, and there was a creative difference between the two camps. But you got to understand one thing: Templeman, okay, the Templeman producer from Warner Brothers, Ted Templeman, he was able to take Van Halen and record them basically live. I mean, they did very little overdubs in those first six albums with Eddie Van Halen and the band. And plus, the way Eddie sounded was bombastic. I mean, he was also innovative, but he was unbelievably talented.
Right, we're back in 2 minutes on ESPN 1000.
All right.
Sorry, Mick.